Would you turn with me to the 100th Psalm? Psalm 100. And as you find that scripture, I want to talk about a national holiday. You know, most of our holidays are built around a battle, or they're built around a birthday, or they're built around some type of commemoration of an individual or an event. But this week, as we celebrate what we call Thanksgiving Day, it's not built around a birthday. It's not built around a battle, as most holidays are. But it's simply a day that was set aside to express thanksgiving to the Lord God. Did you realize that our government, it's been a few years since government stopped to recognize the graciousness of the Lord our God. In 1789, George Washington made a public declaration, and this is what he said. Let me just read it to you. Listen to this. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. I'm thankful that we had a first president that would do that, because today many of them don't even want to acknowledge the existence of God. But he said, it is our duty to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. We need more leaders that will come to that understanding. And all God's people said, amen. He then assigned Thursday, November the 26th of 1789, to be a day of national thanksgiving. And of course, most of you know the stories of what we call the first Thanksgiving, and the story about the Indians and the pilgrims. Well, that was circa 1621, some 170 years earlier, before George Washington's proclamation that we as a nation should stop and give thanks. But folks, long before 1621, you may recall that people knew the benefits of thanking God. They knew the benefits, and they knew the rightness of stopping and saying, God, we give thanks to the one who holds everything together. They were doing that long before 1621. And in the Old Testament Psalms, we find a song of thanksgiving. Many people's favorite psalm, Psalm 100. And folks, it's actually an invitation. I want you to, as we read it in just a moment, notice that it's an invitation. And an invitation to what? To acknowledge the great things that God has done. And since our primary goal, you do know what your primary goal is, don't you? Your goal, your purpose in life is to bring glory to God. It's to give God glory and praise. And since that's our purpose, folks, of all things, we ought to be bringing thanksgiving to God. Now, not only does Psalm 100 call us to praise the Lord with thanksgiving, it also describes the very true nature of thanksgiving. And I want us to stand together, read Psalms 100, and as we do, take note of its invitation. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Can you stop and give thanks with me to the God? Father, we are thankful for the reminder that You are our all in all. That all praise, all glory, and thanksgiving does indeed belong to You. It starts with You. It flows to You. It ends with You, Lord. Would You help us in our hearts, our finite little minds, to slow down and realize that it's not about us and that it is all about you. God, help us to tune our hearts into the praise of the glorious, wonderful, awesome, loving, living Lord God. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? We have five key words that describe the essence of Thanksgiving. And I know you might be thinking, well, it's Thanksgiving week. Pastor had to preach on Thanksgiving. Listen, I didn't have to preach on Thanksgiving. I wanted to preach on Thanksgiving. I wanted to bring an understanding to you of where we're supposed to be, because we get distracted, don't we? Maybe everybody else does but you. You don't ever get distracted. You don't ever have a problem with focusing on God and His goodness and His love and His mercy. I want us to look at this. There are five key words, and they're going to be quick. The first one is joy. Is that what you think of when you get ready to go to church? Do you think about joy? Or do you think, man, I hope the preacher's not going to preach long today? I don't know what your thoughts are. But God's Word says in verse 1, He said, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Now, some of your versions are going to say what? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. A shout, a noise. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of y'all watched the ball game yesterday. You watched Texas A&M. Now, how many of you went to that game yesterday? A number of you did. Went to the ball game yesterday, and it was a rout. I mean, we knew it was going to be from the beginning, right? But I bet you still got up and cheered for our Aggies, right? If you didn't, you need to come see your pastor afterwards. We're going to talk about football protocol. When you stop and you take the time to go to a game and you enjoy the football, you enjoy the game, you enjoy the crowds. Listen, of all the places to get into it, A&M is the place to get into with the crowd. Hey, my wife and I have been to the ball games. You understand this, that when the Aggies score, push-ups are going to be done, and there's going to be shouting and cheering. There's going to be a cannon that goes off. Listen, if we can do it for a football game, why can't we do it for God? Why can't we just get a little bit excited about what God is doing? Our lives, your life is meant to be a joyful expression to the Lord your God. Did you know this? God wants you to enjoy Him. He wants you to enjoy His presence, and He wants you to get excited about who He is. I still remember sitting right back there on that back row some 6-7 years ago. It had to be about 6 years ago, because my grandson, coming to church for the first time, saw his pawpaw standing up on the stage. He didn't know pawpaw did that. But when he saw me and he heard my voice, do you remember what he did? Anybody here? What'd he do? He yelled out, "Pawpaw! Pawpaw! Pawpaw!" And Pawpaw stopped in the pulpit and I'm just a human man. But what a joy when one of the little ones are excited to see you. Can you imagine the joy of your Creator when you slow down and you say, "Lord, Lord, Lord"? I believe that all of heaven stops. And the Lord goes, "I hear you." It thrills the heart of God. God's Word says so when we give Him proper praise. We celebrate so many small things in such big ways. Why not the greatest thing, the greatest one of all time? And in every way, we need to shout praises to God. Listen, I've read the Bible. And in the beginning, God's Word says that in His goodness and in His love, He created us for Him. And then as you read in between, you realize that in the midst there is this war for the souls of man. There is this ongoing battle for the life of every person that is ever born. But I also skip through that and I read to the ending and I know who wins the war. I know who has me in his hand. I know who has the victory. Praise be to the Lord God on high. It's okay, you can laugh at the pastor. It's all right. Praise be to God. We need to shout. We need to be joyful because you see, the Lord our God has won the victory. He's won it already, and all you have to do is hold on to Him. Joy is much needed in our worship today. Secondly, gladness. The Scripture says, serve the Lord with... Don't take that GL and turn it to an S. Serve the Lord with... Not sadness. There is a major difference here. It says there in verse 2, come before His presence with singing. Folks, there is a huge difference between gladness and sadness. And when we come before God, we are to do it with gladness and with song. I used to have a shirt. It was before the days that loud shirts were really popular, but it was a black shirt with neon colors, and it said, real men sing real loud. And I'm going to tell you, we need to go back to this make a joyful shout, make a joyful noise, and whether you can carry your tune or not, you still need to be carrying a tune for the Lord. You need to be shouting to the Lord and thanksgiving to the Lord. When we come before Him, it should be done with gladness and with song. Too often, people come to church and they act like they're in a funeral service, when the truth is, every Sunday morning, we are not coming to a funeral. We are coming to a resurrection service. Because we serve a living God. Our God is risen from the dead. Our Lord is alive. We need to celebrate that fact. Because you see, I serve a risen Savior. You know that song? If you know it, sing it with me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He what? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me why, I know He lives. Why? He lives within my heart. Take that from me if you can. You can't take that from me because He lives inside of me. And of all the things, there should be gladness that we serve a risen Savior. When we come before the Lord, dear friend, it should be with gladness. There's a third word, and that third word is dependence. Look at the Scripture again. He says in verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. Wait a minute. We are His people. Whose people? God's people. And we are the sheep of His pasture. Now there are three roles of God that this verse kind of lays out for us. And rather than trying to preach all three of them, I'm just going to give you an overview. We'll come back and preach them what each one means. But it is Lord, Creator, and Shepherd. First of all, God is Lord. Do you know what Lord means? When the disciples said, Lord, Lord, you know what they were saying? Boss, boss, master, preeminent one in my life. That's what they're saying. God is Lord. We are to make Him master, boss of our lives. Remember, the Scripture says, God is God and you're not. You ever wonder, well, why can't everything just go my way? Let me tell you why. You're not God. And it's not about you. And it's not about me. It is about the Lord our God. And our life is supposed to be circumvented around the Lord God. I'm just all around Him. And it ought to be about God, to God, for God. And it needs to be about Him, not about us. God is God, and we are not. I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of people today have decided that there is not a God up in heaven and that they are the God of this earth. And they live that way because they themselves are on their own throne. Folks, until you get off of your throne and put God there, until Jesus Christ is the boss, the Lord, the King of your life, you're not going to understand what your life is about. The second word is creator. You realize that if you create something, you're greater than what you've created. And do you realize that God is the one who created you? You didn't create yourself. You didn't form yourself in your mother's womb. God did that. And God made you beautifully and wonderfully made. And God did that. Listen, if you make something, you have every right over it. God created you. God created me, and He has every right over us. We are His. And not only that, but dear friend, if you want to come down to it, He bought you twice. First of all, He made you. You sinned and left Him, and then He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem you back. You are twice paid for. The next word is shepherd. I love the word shepherd. If you don't understand the word shepherd, let me just give you one great reason to love the word shepherd. It's God's word says that He is the good shepherd. Not the hireling, not the one who just comes and goes, but the one who stays and loves and cares and protects and loves on His sheep. He loves the sheep. I'm glad that God's word does not tell us that God is the great cowboy. You know, what's the difference between a cowboy and a shepherd? Let me tell you why. Because you see, the cowboy drives the herd. And he drives them to market to be slaughtered. The shepherd leads the sheep and loves the sheep and tends to the sheep. I'm glad that God's word doesn't say He's the great cowboy, but it says He's the good shepherd. He guides us to a place of security, of plenty, and of rest. You remember the 23rd Psalm, don't you? You can probably quote it. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Friends, thank the Lord God that He is the good shepherd. Amen? We're dependent on God. Whether you realize it or not, you are dependent on God for everything. Even the very air that you breathe. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every breath that I take. Dear friends, we are so dependent on God that with every beat of our heart, we should thank Him for being God. We take it so for granted, don't we? Day in, day out. The providence, the love, the care, the security of God. Dependence. Dear friend, we are dependent on Him. And when we realize that dependent, we become so much more thankful. There's a fourth word, and that word itself is thankfulness, being thankful. Read with me verse 4. Oh. Verse 4, Psalms 100. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. I'm going to tell you this. I know this for a fact. Are you ready? Listen to this. If you don't have a thankful heart, you won't give thanks. Not properly. You can't and you won't give thanks unless you truly are, to the very heart of your being, thankful. Because you see, thanksgiving flows out of a thankful heart. If your heart isn't right, how can you give proper adoration, praise, and thanksgiving to God? Now, go back this afternoon and read Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In a village, Jesus was there. He was ministering. He was preaching. And in this particular village, Jesus came across 10 men who were lepers. You remember what leprosy is, right? It's awful, nasty, horrible degradation of the very flesh of men. And from afar off, they began to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And they cried out to Jesus. And they said, "Oh, Jesus, can you cleanse us?" And Jesus, they stood a long way off and said, "Had mercy on us." Jesus said to them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, why would Jesus say that? Because in order for a leper to be received back into society, a priest had to clear them. It's like going to the doctor and getting your COVID clearance before you could go back to work. They had to do that too. Before they could go back into society, the priest had to look at their skin and say, "They're clean." And they could re-enter their homes and re-enter society and be a part again. And Jesus said, "Go to the priest and show yourself to him." Now, they didn't get healed immediately. But as they went, the scripture says that as they were walking towards the temple to go to the priest, that they looked down and all of a sudden, they were clean. They were whole. And they had a party. They jumped and leaped and prayed. Wouldn't you? And it says that 9 of them started going towards town to go to the priest. And one of them stopped and went back to Jesus. How many out of the 10? 1. And he went back. And it says that he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks, glorifying God. Do you remember what Jesus asked him? Jesus asked him and he said, "Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? The man said, "I don't know." Here's my thought on that. I think it's pretty close and maybe even not enough. 1 out of 10, maybe 1 out of 10 people in this world are truly thankful for their blessings. Most of us just tend to take it for granted. And we tend to think, well, that's what I'm owed. That's what I'm due. Here's my thought on this, dear friends. I believe without a doubt that true thankfulness will take time to express itself to God. I think that if we're truly thankful, we're going to stop and give God time to be thankful. Here's the question. Do you? Do you stop and give thanks? Do you give the Lord the time? Have you given Him thanks? Friends, here's an opportunity for you. This week, we observe a national holiday. Most people are given the day off. And if they're not given that day off, they get a different day off. And we gather together, and we look at all of our blessings, and we gather it up on the table, and we watch football, and we eat, and we celebrate there what's on the TV, and we celebrate what's on the table. And most folks never even stop to give thanksgiving to God for what they have. Do you? This week, whenever you gather, wherever you gather, would you do something? Check your heart and see if you really are thankful. Because if you are thankful at heart, you'll stop and give thanks to God. One of the things that we've done in our family, my daddy made sure we never missed this. We would gather together in the living room before the meal. And we'd gather in a big circle, and we'd all hold hands. And we would each take turns led by my daddy, to say some things that we are thankful for. We share thanksgiving to God. We share thanksgiving with each other. Let me ask you, what would prevent you from doing that? I want to encourage you. Don't miss an opportunity. You can actually say, did you realize, and maybe even you want to get the bulletin and say, you know, did you know that George Washington himself said that we need to stop and give thanks to the Creator, the Lord our God? And we're going to do that on this day. We're going to stop and give thanks. Why don't you do that with your family and give them an opportunity to give thanksgiving to God? Because if you don't, let me ask you, if you don't give God time, are you really thankful? There's a fifth word we're going to cover this morning, and that's gratitude. You may think that they're the same thing, but they're not. Being thankful is an expression and it's an attitude of the heart. Gratitude is what surrounds us and what we nurture for ourselves. Gratitude, dear friend, helps us see the qualities of the giver. Let's read verse 5. Look at the qualities of the giver. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. God's Word says that the Lord God is good. There are times that people have things happen in their life, and they struggle, and they go through hurt, and they go through pain. But dear friends, you need to understand this, that God in all of His mercy, that God in all of His love is good. He is good and merciful and caring. God is good. Give thanks to a good Lord. The Lord is merciful. Of all the things that you want God to be, aren't you glad that He's merciful? He's forgiving. The Lord, the Scripture said, is truth. He is the way, the truth, the life. And the Scripture says that His truth endures forever. It doesn't change because the next generation decides that God's not worthy to be praised, or that God is not worthy to be served, or that God is not worthy to be worshipped. Just because somebody else changes their mind doesn't change the immutable, always the same God and Father. He is worthy. Did you know that Romans chapter 11, verse 36, Paul tells us, he says, every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. And because of that, all praise and all glory rightly belong to Him. Every good thing that you can enjoy, it comes from God. You're going, well, wait a minute. I earned this, or I earned that. I paid for this, or I paid for that, or I invested in this. Dear friend, you don't even take a breath without God's blessing. If you earned it, it's because God gave you the ability to work. He gave you the gifts and the skills. God gave you the time. Nothing good comes except through Him and by Him. Glorifying God is our primary purpose on earth. We talk about it often. It's always our purpose. It never changes. Let me just ask you one more time. What is your purpose to what? Your purpose is what? To glorify God. Let me ask you, on what day does that change? What age do you get to be and all of a sudden you can say, you know what, I don't owe God praise or glory anymore? What stage in life, what attaining factor in your abilities gets you to the point that you are no longer dependent on the King of Kings? Friend, glorifying God is your primary purpose on earth. Always has been, always will be. And the wonderful thing is your job description doesn't change when you leave this earth and you go to be with the Father. It is to glorify Him always. Now here's one that you need to hear. You ready? If you missed everything else, hear this one. It is your purpose to glorify God even when you don't feel like it. You ever been grumpy? No, not you? Okay. Well, everybody else around you has. Everybody else around you has had those bad days, difficult days. And I'm going to tell you this. Even on those days, it is still your purpose to glorify God. And it is improper to withhold it from Him. You know, one of the most disappointing things in my life was when a child would walk through the room and I'm so excited to see them and I go, "Hey, how are you?" And then, I know your kids never did that. But it's so disappointing when you're excited about seeing the precious little ones, but they just don't feel like it. I wonder, don't you know it hurts the heart of God when His children get up in the morning after He's blessed them with all He's given? And they don't even take time to acknowledge Him. We just go about our day. All glory belongs to God. It is not about us. It's about our Lord and our God. Our praise and our thanksgiving, our gratitude must be poured out to God. It is a heart and an attitude of the heart. And if we don't have it, folks, we miss what God has for us. It is essential. It is essential to remember life is about Him, not us. I want you to notice something about Psalms 100. In just five verses, I want you to look how many times that God is mentioned. Whether it's He or His or Lord. Are you ready? I'm going to read it. See if you can count them. Ready? Here we go. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. And all God's people said, amen. 16 times in these five little verses, God is mentioned. It is about Him, dear friend. This Thanksgiving, this week, with all the preparations that you're making, whether it's travel or events or food or excitement, whatever those gathering places are, be sure that God is thanked. Be sure that you have a heart of gratitude. Be sure that you show Him your dependence. Be sure that you have joy and that you share the news of great joy and gladness. And I'm going to tell you, there are times when we pull our family together and we start talking about spiritual things, and you get this, maybe it's time to just teach a little attitude adjustment. We told them when it was about us, Daddy. When we told them and their attitude got wrong about us, and we said, "You just better get your heart right. I'll take you out and make another one just like you." You know, those threats would get them all their life. Just go ahead and get over it and get happy. Listen, why don't we teach them, you know, it is not about you. It is about giving God what is due Him, and we will do it. As for me and my house, be sure that the Lord God is thanked with joy, with gladness, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, and a heart that is so fully dependent on Him because we are. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father. And all of us say, thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your everlasting love. Father, where would we be without you? We don't even want to know because we know. Lord, we have so much, even in our most difficult days, so much to be thankful for. God, help us to take proper time to give you what you deserve. Your word gives us direction. Your word gives us a plan. Your word gives us all that we need to know to give you thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory. God, help us not to be guilty of withholding from you.